أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So inshallah, today we're going to be starting with juz number 30, the last juz of the Quran. Which surah does the last juz start with? Who knows? Surah An-Naba. Okay, Naba, which basically means the big news. Naba means big news, hot news. In our language today, the breaking news. You guys know in Al Jazeera or CNN when there's an announcement, that's what the big news is. And the big news refers to, who can tell me, what's the big news for the disbelievers? What's the big news that the Prophet ﷺ came with? The idea of Judgment Day and the fact that there's accountability, there's going to be an afterlife, okay? This is the big news. And so this is what the overall theme of the surah is talking about, the afterlife. And, you know, if you look at the entire juz 30, it actually all mostly talks about the Day of Judgment, which makes you think, because most of our children and us when we were young, which surahs did we memorize? The last juz surahs, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the last juz to be all short surahs that have to deal with the Day of Judgment. So now the question arises, why did Allah do that? I mean, why does Allah want us as children to be programmed to memorize surahs that have to deal with the Day of Judgment and Akhirah? Why do you think? I want you to respond to me so that we can have an interactive discussion. Why do you think Allah made the overall subject of the last juz about Akhirah and the Day of Judgment? Because if you get used to it at such a young age, later on you won't have a problem, inshallah. It's a critical part of the message of the Meccan period. So to summarize the Meccan period, which was the foundation building for the Prophet ﷺ, it was how many years? Who can tell me how many years was Mecca? 13 years in Mecca and then 10 years in Medina. Okay, 13 years, the Prophet ﷺ set the foundation by instilling three ideas. Number one, belief in Allah. Number two, belief in Akhirah or the Day of Judgment and accountability and the resurrection. And number three was belief in the message. The Prophet ﷺ, the Quran, the angels, you know, all these three come into the message itself. So the last juz primarily talks about this belief in Akhirah as a fundamental topic for all of the surahs, inshallah. So yesterday we talked about Fatiha, and Fatiha is more or less like a table of contents of the Quran, okay? And so any surah you look at, any page you open, there's going to be a reference to Fatiha in it. So just to go over all the overall topics, I came up with five. Okay, number one, Tawheed. We mentioned Tawheed in Fatiha, right? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Iyaka Na'bud. That's Tawheed. And then Akhirah, Malik Yawmiddin, is mentioned in Fatiha also. Ibadah, all the laws in the Quran go to Iyaka Na'bud. Iyaka Nasta'een talks about the Akhlaq part of it, right? The Dua part of it and the Akhlaq part of it, which is also the morality part of the Quran. Remember, we talked about the difference between law and morality, okay? So we have Tawheed, we have Akhirah, we have Ibadat, all the laws, and then we have the morals, which is Iyaka Nasta'een, humility, being humble, you know, all these things. And then lastly, stories. The Quran is filled with stories. Stories of the prophets, which is part of the Iman in Risala, and stories of good people who weren't prophets, like Khidr, like Dhul Qarnayn, like Ashabul Kahf. And then stories of bad people for us to learn from their mistakes. Okay? So this is the entire Quran, if you think about it. Every page will talk about one of these topics. Now, which topic of these five is this surah talking about? Surah An-Naba? The topic of? Akhirah, yeah. The Judgment Day, exactly. So the surah is Mekki. It's a Mekki surah. It was revealed in Mecca. It has 40 ayat. So inshallah, I'm going to try to wrap up everything in 1 hour today, inshallah. 40 ayat. I highly recommend you to follow along with a mushaf or an app if you have a Quran app. Just follow along so that you can connect with the ayat while we're speaking about them, inshallah. Now, the breakdown of the surah, it's very important for us to understand the overall surah and how it's broken down, okay? So I've broken it down into six subjects or six parts, okay? Pay attention. Part number one talks about the questioning. There was a questioning that was happening between the disbelievers among themselves. They were actually sarcastically questioning the reality of the Day of Judgment. You know, they're cracking jokes. Does the Day of Judgment really exist? What do you think, guys? Is the sky really going to tear open? Is there really going to be accountability? Is there really this judgment day and the hellfire? They used to sarcastically joke about this. So the first subject or the first idea of this surah is talking about this questioning of the day of judgment. The second part of the surah is going to talk about, it's going to completely shift to a different subject. The subject will discuss 9 ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 9 signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, I'll discuss why this transition happens. This happens all as you read the Quran, it keeps happening over and over and over again. Have you guys noticed this? Allah talks about something and then completely change of subject. And usually we're lost, right? We think it's like a puzzle. What's going on? Why did the subject change all of a sudden? So we'll talk about the transition, inshallah. But for now, the second part of the surah talks about 9 signs or ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we'll move on to the scenes of the Day of Judgment. That's part number 3. Scenes of the Day of Judgment. So repeat after me, what was part 1? Questioning of the disbelievers. Part 2? 9 signs of Allah. Part 3? Signs from the Day of Judgment, right? Okay. Part number 4 is description of the hellfire and the criminals. It gets pretty intense then. Rated R stuff, okay? And then part number 5, believers in Jannah. Part number 6, conclusion. Okay? So let's repeat the 6 parts so that you guys understand this whole surah. Part number 1, what was it? Questioning the Day of Judgment. Part 2, how many signs? 9 signs. Part 3, scenes from the Day of Judgment. It's like a trailer of the Day of Judgment. Part number 4, criminals in the hellfire. Okay? And part number 5, believers in Jannah, and part number 6, concluding remarks from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's get right into it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim, amma yatasa'aloon. About what are they questioning each other? And amma is actually, it's a short version of an madha. Okay, an madha in Arabic means, what are they asking about? But Allah didn't even say an madha, He said amma. He shortcutted it. Why? The scholars of tafsir say this abbreviation actually refers to shock and disgust. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shocked. What are they questioning about? What are they asking each other about? And what's this subject that they're asking about? They're really asking about this stuff? They're really questioning the Day of Judgment? And yatasa'alun actually refers to sarcastic questioning. You know? So it's as if people are sarcastically asking the Prophet ﷺ questions. So really, you're saying that the mountains are going to be walking on the Day of Judgment, huh? Interesting. And you're saying that, the angels will come down and they will be standing up in one line and Jibreel will be there also. You're saying that the sky will tear open. Interesting stuff. So they're asking all these sarcastic questions. They don't really, they're not genuine questions, sarcastic questions. And subhanAllah, yatasa'alun also means that among each other, they keep doing this all the time. Okay? This is like their time pass. They keep questioning each other as a time pass. Now, next ayah, ayah number 2, an naba' al-azim. What are they questioning about? An naba' al-azim, the great news, the breaking news, which is what? The coming of the Day of Judgment. Now, there's two different ways to say news in Arabic. There's khabar, like akhbar, you know, akhbar parayu, right? And there's naba'. What's the difference? Khabar is just some normal news, like I went to eat shawarma. It's a khabar. But naba is something, it's a big deal. It's something that everyone in the city is talking about. Okay? It's like, remember when a big event like the Gulf War happened? Everyone was talking about it, right? 9/11, everyone in the world was talking about that. Yeah. So all these major events, when you talk about it in the public, everyone knows it's a significant event. And what makes naba a significant event is that it demands some sort of action. Okay? Naba demands some sort of action. So for example, if there's a fire, you know, may Allah protect us, but if there's a fire in this tent, that's naba. What's the action that we need to take? Run for your life, right? So if it's khabar, you know, there's a mosquito flying around, that's a khabar. We're not going to really take much action. Okay, so you guys understand the difference? And in naba al-azim. And azim comes from azam in Arabic, which is a bone, right? So it's a strong, serious news. It's not just fluff. It's not just some soft news. It's serious news. الَّذِي هُمْ فِيهِ مُخْتَلِفُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they are disagreeing among each other about this news. الَّذِي هُمْ فِيهِ مُخْتَلِفُونَ. فِيهِ is actually مُقَدَّمًا. يعني. The right way of saying this is الَّذِي يَخْتَلِفُونَ فِيهِ. But Allah brought فِيهِ, which is, you know, this Day of Judgment, He brought it earlier in the ayah to emphasize the shock of their questioning. They're asking about this. This is what they're asking about out of all the things. So it's as if Allah is, you know, alluding to the fact that there is other question they should be asking, not this. Don't question the Day of Judgment. Question other things. Allah is not saying it's haram to question, but at least choose some wise questions, not this obvious question. The Day of Judgment is such an obvious thing. We've been hearing about it all the time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not even spell it out yet. He hasn't spelled out that they're questioning about the Day of Judgment. He just called it Naba, which means what? The Prophet has been continuously talking about this topic, and the Quran has been talking about this topic over and over and over again. So they basically know what Naba is now. By now they know what it is. Allah doesn't even have to spell it out. Okay? So there's a tone of anger there. They're asking about this, and mukhtalifun is a noun, which means they're always asking about this. There's constantly, that's what they do. That's their profession, mukhtalifun. And subhanAllah, you know, Allah then says, kalla sayalamun, thumma kalla sayalamun, twice. Okay? No, they better stop. They need to stop what they're saying. They will for sure know. They will for sure come to know. And then Allah repeats it again. Thumma, and again, most definitely they will come to know. They will come to know what? About the day, this question that you're asking about. They'll come to know the answer. Why does Allah mention it twice? The view that I liked most from the tafasir that I read was the first kalla sa'alamun talks about the Day of Judgment. When they will be resurrected, they'll see reality, right? Allah will remove the hijab. They will see that this is for real. And then the second kalla sa'alamun, it will be when they are entered into the hellfire. Subhanallah. So this is why these two. And remember, what was part three about? Signs of the Day of Judgment. What was part four about? Criminals in the hellfire. So first Allah explains kalla sa'alamun, then He explains the other thumma kalla sa'alamun within the surah itself. Okay? There's another view that the first kalla sa'alamun is death actually. And then the second kalla sa'alamun is resurrection or the Day of Judgment. So both, mashallah, are good. But now let's explain the difference between three types of yaqeen. You know what yaqeen means? Certainty. Okay? So there's ilmul yaqeen, knowing, having knowledge of the Day of Judgment. Now all of us have knowledge of the Day of Judgment, right? But there's a difference between having knowledge of something and aynul yaqeen. What is aynul yaqeen? When you see. What is a stronger form of certainty? Seeing, right? When you see something, it's more for real. There's a third level of certainty, which is called haqqul yaqeen. And that is experiencing. So to give you a very simple example, when you hear about fire, it's knowledge, right? You just heard about it on Twitter, on WhatsApp, you just read about it. When you see smoke, then you're for sure certain there's a smoke out there. But how do you really come to the most highest level of certainty is when you actually try to touch the fire and it burns your hand. Okay? So what Allah is talking about here is everyone, even including the disbelievers, they know about the Day of Judgment. And ask any Muslim, do you believe in the Day of Judgment? What are they going to say? But how many of us actually have seen it? None of us. How many of us have felt it? None of us, right? And so therefore, throughout the Quran, what does Allah demand us to do? Allah demands us to go beyond just knowing about the Day of Judgment. He wants us to think about it. Think seriously about the Day of Judgment, because when you do think about it, then what's going to happen to your attitude and your actions? They're going to change. If you simply know about it, nothing's going to change. Remember yesterday we gave the example of the brother who smokes? He had knowledge about the fact that cigarettes cause lung cancer. But did that stop him from smoking? Why not? Because he didn't think about the consequences. He didn't think about the dangers. He didn't think about how serious this matter is. But when he does think about it, then the change will come. Okay? And so Allah is saying they will come to know. For sure they will come to know. Let them joke around now. They're joking around about it, right? They will come to know. You know how like in Urdu they say, "Theek hai, dekh lena." You want to joke around? Karo mazak. You wait and see. This is what Allah is doing in this passage, subhanAllah. So, then the idea here is, Allah says that they need to think about the signs around them. That's the transition now, the nine ayat. What are the nine ayat going to be talking about? Signs of the creation of Allah around us. Now, why is there a transition? It's beautiful. Allah basically has sent to us different forms of ayat. There are ayat in the Quran, okay, signs of Allah in the Quran, but there are also ayat around us, the sun, the moon, the stars, you know, the birds flying. These are also signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the disbelievers and the Sahaba, they had a third type of Quran also. That was a walking Quran. Who was the walking Quran among them? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? So they had three types of Quran among them. Reading Quran, viewing Quran, and walking Quran. Walking example of the Quran. Now we don't have the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam among us, but we do have the Quran, the written book, and we do have the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyone who says, Brother Fahad, you know, Quran is difficult, I don't understand it, I don't know Arabic, is that a valid excuse? Because what are other signs around us? The creation of Allah, right? Everyone can see the sun, everyone can see the moon, everyone can see the stars. Correct or no? These are enough, Allah is saying, these are enough signs for you to believe in me. These are enough signs for you. If you think about them deeply, they will increase your iman. They will make you a believer. That's enough for you, okay? So Allah says, أَلَمْ نَجْعَلِ الْأَرْضَ مِهَادَ. Allah is basically gonna mention certain things that He has created and try to hint to the disbelievers that this is what you create and this is what I create. Compare the two. Okay, so didn't we make the earth mihada? What is mihada? It's basically a bed or a cradle for a baby. Okay, so human beings create beds and cradles for their babies. Mihada also means when a mother carries a child. Okay, that's called mihad. Now Allah is saying, you sleep on beds, you make mattresses, you make cradles for your babies and you sleep on beds. I made the earth a bed for you. So compare your creation to my creation. And then Allah says, وَالْجِبَالَ أَوْتَادَ. Didn't we make the mountains pegs? You guys know that there's a scientific miracle behind this, right? Mountains, one of the primary purposes is to prevent earthquakes. And so Allah is saying, you, and who is Allah talking to? Arabs, right? What are Arabs known for? Making tents, right? And making those pegs. So they understand this language. Allah is saying, you make tents, and you make fires, and you know, you eat and drink in these tents. I made mountains. Compare you what you are creating to what I create. Okay. وَخَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. And we created you in pairs. We created you in pairs. And أَزْوَاجًا actually also means male and female. Now did these, Allah's talking to disbelievers, but He's also talking to us. Okay? Allah's telling us, I created you in pairs. I created you male and female. Did we have an option to choose before we were born whether we want to be male or female? No. So Allah is showing the powerlessness of the disbelievers. The powerlessness of human beings. You don't even have the choice to choose whether you're male or female. You forgot about that? Just think about that. Who decided that you're going to be male or female? And Azwaja also refers to different groups that we're part of. You know, the Indians, the Pakistanis, the Malaysians, the Indonesians. These are all groups. Who decided you're going to be among the Indians? Who decided you're going to be among the Malaysians? Who decided you're going to be among the Americans? You know, it's something to think about, right? It wasn't an accident. It wasn't just something that happened out of nothing. Someone has planned this for you. Then Allah says, وَجَعَلْنَا نَوْمَكُمْ سُبَاتًا. And we made your nights, we made your sleep a means of disconnecting from the world. SubhanAllah, this is beautiful. So subata comes from sept, which actually means to disconnect. And the Arabs used to use that to cut off hair locks, okay? But Sept was also the holiday for the Jews. It was time off for them. There was a weekend. There's no work on Saturdays, right? So, subata means disconnecting from the world. And we know from the Quran that what happens during sleep, our ruhs separate from our bodies. Correct? You guys know this, right? And the Prophet ﷺ called death, he called sleep the sister of death. So technically what's happening every day when we sleep, what's happening? We're actually dying. And you know, one of my teachers, he described it as, you know, the ICU. You know when a patient is in the ICU? like ventilation's on and like you're in like an emergency. That's basically the situation we're in every day we sleep. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the ruh back to us and we come back to life and we say, Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana. Thanks to Allah, all praise to Allah who gave us life back after we were dead. So this is also a question for us to think about now, right? Who keeps giving you a second chance? Who keeps giving you life after death every single day? And Allah's talking to those same disbelievers who are joking around about this. Didn't we make your sleep a means to disconnect? And by the way, is sleep something that you can get away, like not do for a long period of time? Even if you try to be Superman, eventually what's going to happen? You stay awake for 24 hours, 48 hours, what's going to eventually happen? You are going to be defeated. Allah is showing the weakness of the human being here. And subhanAllah, you know, in some jails, they actually use lack of sleep as a means of torture for prisoners. So, you know, the prisoner would fall asleep and they would like throw a bucket of water to wake him up again. And he'd be falling asleep and they throw a bucket of water. They won't let him sleep as a means of torture, subhanAllah. Okay. So Allah's telling us how weak we are. Just think about it. We all go to sleep every day tired and we, you know, do our snoring and whatever. But how many of us actually think about the fact that, wait, I'm going to die and there's a possibility that I'm not going to come back to life again. I need to make sure I sort my things out before dying. Subhanallah. So this is also foreshadowing the Day of Judgment actually. Because what's going to happen? The Prophet ﷺ has described death, you know, the time between death and resurrection is going to be like the time between sleeping between Dhuhr and Asr. That's how fast things are going to go. So there's foreshadowing here that just like you sleep and wake up every day, I'm going to make you sleep in your graves and you're going to wake up for the Day of Judgment. You're going to see the reality for yourself. And then, وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا. And we made the night a means of clothing for you. لِبَاسًا. Now again, similarly, Allah is explaining to us how weak we are. Now, do we have an option to not have night? If when night comes, can anyone say, Ya Allah, stop, I don't want night. I'm enjoying the sun, I'm enjoying my sun tanning. Night is going to come whether you like it or not. Allah, through the night, is showing you how weak you are and you have no say in it. Allah is going to make you wear the clothing of the night, whether you like it or not. And subhanAllah, libasan also means covering. And you know, when do crimes happen? At night, right? When no one's watching, when basically everything is dark. So Allah here again is repeating these ideas that, you know what, you didn't create night. You don't have option in switching off the night button and the day button. Then he goes on to the day. وَجَعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ مَعَاشًا. And we made the day as a means of earning a living. Who gives you the power to go out in the morning and work? Imagine if life was all dark. How depressing would that be? Right? So the light and the nahar and daylight is actually a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us to go out and work. And when daylight just come out, that's the time for us to appreciate. You know, I still remember in my honeymoon, alhamdulillah, Allah blessed me to go with my wife to the Maldives. Beautiful place, okay? But we landed at night. And so it was kind of messed up because you pay all this money and you want to go and you, the first thing you want to do is see, right? You want to see the place. But it was dark, completely dark. And we had no clue where we were going. There was actually a boat there that took us to our place and everything was dark. But when the morning came and we woke up and we opened the curtains, what did we see? The most beautiful scene you'll ever see in the world, okay? Complete water around you. We had the water villa, so that's all you have is a villa in the middle of the water and blue sky, white clouds, beautiful place. But when did I get to appreciate the scene? When the daylight came. Okay, so that daylight is a blessing for us. If it wasn't for daylight, we wouldn't be able to appreciate the beauty of Allah's creation. وَجَعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ مَعَاشًا. And Allah here is actually creating a contrast between day and night, correct? Later on, we'll see how Allah says, just like there is day and night, there's going to be dunya and akhirah. Remember, وَخَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. We made you in pairs. Just like we made you male and female, just like there's night and day, similarly, there's going to be dunya and akhirah, guys. Just think about it. Everything is in pairs. Why are you doubting that the fact that there's going to be a pair to dunya also? You see this beauty? And then Allah says, وَبَنَيْنَا فَوْقَكُمْ سَبْعًا شِدَادًا. And we built on top of you seven very strong structures. What are the seven strong structures? The skies, the heavens. Okay, seven of them. By the way, all of what science has seen up to date today from NASA and all these telescopes and all this technology is just the first sky. We haven't even yet glimpsed anything of the second sky. Okay, so all we've seen is the first sky. There's seven more out there. So Allah's saying, I built this. You are building Burj Khalifa. You are building World Trade Center. You're building the Eiffel Tower. You're building the White House. I'm building seven heavens above you. Comparing, see how Allah's comparing our capacity of building things compared to His capacity. And later on, we'll see how Allah built this stuff. He has the power to destroy it also. You know, building something is one thing, but destroying it is also a big headache, right? Imagine, I mean, it took, I think, Dubai about, what was it, 4 or 5 years to make Burj Khalifa, yeah? How long will it take them to destroy it? Another couple of years probably, right? To clear up the area. So building is one thing, destroying is another thing. Allah is saying, listen, all these seven heavens, I can destroy them like this. These mountains that you see, you're going to see them walking like nothing, like foam, like, you know? It's going to come to nothing. Dust. وَجَعَلْنَا سِرَاجًا وَهَاجًا. And we made this brilliant lamp, which is alluding to the sun. Now we have this flashlight, we have a flashlight on our iPhones, you know, we have a chandelier in our house. Sometimes, you know, when it's National Day, we go and we take photos next to lights, right? We appreciate lights. When someone's launching a new shop, you have laser lights, okay? Allah's saying, yeah, you make your own lights, you make your candles. I made this brilliant lamp, this sun. Compare your lights to my light. Is there any comparison? When the sun comes out, all our lights are basically useless. And the sun, we know from its meaning that there's so many blessings of the sun, right? The benefit that we get from it, the vitamin D, the benefit that it gives to the plants. And if it wasn't for the sun, the plants wouldn't grow. If plants wouldn't grow, the goat and the cow wouldn't eat from the grass. And if the cow and the goat didn't eat from the grass, we would be dying of starvation. So life in its entirety depends on the sun. وَجَعَلْنَا سِرَاجًا وَهَاجًا. Just think about it. Who do you think you're competing with? You're making your lights. Look at my sun. And then Allah says, وَأَنزَلْنَا مِنَ الْمُعْصِرَاتِ مَاءً ثَجَّاجًا. And we sent down from the مُعْصِرَات, from عَصْر, which means to squeeze something. You know when you have like a piece of cloth that's wet, you squeeze it, what comes out? Water comes out. Allah is describing the winds squeezing the clouds so that water comes out. And then what comes out of this water? Ma'an thajaja. Plenty of water. What benefit does this water bring? لِنُخْرَجَ بِهِ حَبًّا وَنَبَاتًا وَجَنَّاتٍ أَلْفَافًا. From this water, we get out habban. Habban refers to all grains. And nabata refers to all sorts of vegetables and fruits. وَجَنَّاتٍ أَلْفَافًا. Okay. So, what do we need to have a healthy diet? To have healthy diets, we need a little bit of carbs, a little bit of proteins, correct? All of this is covered in habban وَنَبَاتًا. So Allah's saying, Allah's questioning and making us think about it. Who squeezed these clouds to send down this rain so that greenery and plants would come out for you to eat from? Okay? Making us think about it. Not only has Allah sent down food for us, Allah is also saying, وَجَنَّاتٍ أَلْفَافَ. There's also beauty that Allah has created. Jannatin, Jannah actually comes from the root word jinn, which means jinn. We all know jinn, right? We haven't seen one. Has anyone seen a jinn? No, so that's what jinn actually means, something that's unseen. And so Jannah is actually a garden that's going to be so covered with greenery and plants and trees and branches and fruits that you're not going to be able to see much. There's going to be a lot of mystery in it. That's how lush the garden would be. Full of stuff. Okay? وَجَنَّاتٍ أَلْفَافَ. Alfafa basically means branches that will be intertwined. Okay? Adding to mystery also. Because when there's mystery, there's always, you know, a sense of looking forward to something. So there's going to be mystery when you walk into your Jannah. You're going to want to explore more about it. Okay? So who sent down this rain? Allah is talking to the disbelievers. You're eating, he's talking to us also. Our fridges are full with, you know, Pepsi and 7-Up and Coke and food and drinks, and we're eating French fries and fruits. Have we thought about who sent down the rain? Who made the plants come out? There's a whole cycle behind it that we're forgetful of, right? We don't appreciate these things. That's why scholars like Imam al-Ghazali, he actually spoke about the adab of eating. And you know, the spiritual people, when they eat, like, you know, an apple, how long does it take you to finish an apple? On average, Shayan? Like what, 5 minutes? Right? 2-3 minutes, maximum 5 minutes. The people of spirituality, they would spend 15, 20 minutes eating an apple. Every bite, they'd be like, SubhanAllah, yummy, this is amazing, man. Look at this greenery. They'd open up a mango and they smell it and they'd like, appreciate it. They look at a strawberry for like 5 minutes before eating it. This is the relationship we should have with our food. Next time you have a Jasmine's burger, just look at it for 5 minutes. And then appreciate it, SubhanAllah. Then Allah moves to part three. Day of Judgment, traitor now. Inna yawma al-fasli kana miqata. So Allah has basically given us enough signs, 9 signs for us to compare what He has done to what we have created. Okay? What is Allah doing, by the way, by giving us these 9 signs? He's putting us in our place. He's making us realize how insignificant we are, how powerless we are. Okay? This is supposed to break our ego. Now that ego is broken, now Allah is saying, okay, you're questioning about the Day of Judgment, let me tell you about the Day of Judgment. إِنَّ يَوْمَ الْفَصْلِ كَانَ مِيقَاتًا. Allah calls the Day of Judgment يَوْمَ الْفَصْلِ, the Day of Separation. Now what does separation mean? Many things. Separation between truth and falsehood. Separation between good people and bad people. Separation between a mother and her child. Separation between a father and his children. Separation between a husband and his wife. There's going to be no ties on the Day of Judgment. Every single one will stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. يَوْمَ الْفَصْلِ. And Allah calls it, إِنَّ يَوْمَ الْفَصْلِ كَانَ مِيقَاتًا. You know when you go to Umrah, you go to Miqat, right? Why do you go to Miqat? To take a shower and wear the ihram. What is Miqat? It's a place where and specified time and place for you to meet. You know, sometimes there's an event, but last minute something comes up and you excuse yourself, right? Or sometimes people, you know, they want to go to work, but they're not in the mood. So what do? They call the boss and they say, Bait kharabe, right? They come up with this excuse, okay, I can't go to work today. I have an upset stomach. On the Day of Judgment, can you tell Allah, Bait kharabe, Ya Allah, I can't make it? Sick leave? Can you do that? Miqata. Every single one of us, there's a specified time and place for us to meet. Even for the disbelievers. Yes, you can joke about it, but on the Day of Judgment, you will show up. Whether you like it or not. يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ. On that day, what's going to happen? There's going to be a horn that's going to be blown into by an angel. And, you know, the scholars say this is referring to the second blowing of the trumpet, okay, or the horn. So there's two, in the Quran, you'll hear about this all the time. In the Day of Judgment and Akhirah, there's two horns that are going to be blown into. The first one is where all of us will die, basically. All of creation will die. And the second one will be when we will be raised again. So Allah is saying, يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ فَتَأْتُونَ أَفْوَاجًا. On the day when it will be blown into the trumpet and you will come to Him, أَفْوَاجًا, into groups. Now this is beautiful because Allah says that we will be coming into groups. Now what does groups refer to? Of course, disbelievers will be one group, believers will be one group. But then within believers, the people of Quran will be together. The people of fasting will be together. The people of charity will be together. The people who used to do, you know, voluntary work will be together. The youth who are active in Islamic work will be together. The mothers who are responsible for raising, you know, good children will be together. The people of the ulama will be together. The ulama of hadith will be together. The ulama of fiqh will be together. So we'll be bunched up into different groups. Similarly for the disbelievers, the people of riba will be together. The people of zina will be together. The people of cheating and backbiting will be together. Okay? So, يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ فَتَأْتُونَ أَفْوَاجًا. And تَأْتُونَ أَتَى basically means that you will be coming submissively. You will have no say in it. You're going to come. You're going to have to come submissively. وَفُتِحَتِ السَّمَاءُ فَكَانَتْ أَبْوَابًا. And on that day, the skies will open up and it will be doors. Some scholars refer to the angels coming down as the skies open up. Now earlier Allah says, I built these seven skies. Now He's telling us that I will be able to open up these skies also. وَفُتِحَتِ السَّمَاءِ فَكَانَتْ أَبْوَابًا وَسُيِّرَتِ الْجِبَالُ فَكَانَتْ سَرَابًا. And I will make the mountains walk, سُيِّرَتْ. They will walk and they will be, and it will be like a sarab. You know what a sarab is? A mirage. You know when you're in the desert and you're basically looking far away at the horizon, you see a mirage, something like water. It doesn't really exist there. It's just a mirage. It's wishful thinking. Okay? So effortlessly moving mountains. سُيِّرَتْ. Allah's saying they'll be walking on their own. وَسُيِّرَتِ الْجِبَالُ فَكَانَتْ سَرَابًا. And then part four. What was part four? Criminals now, hellfire. It's going to get more graphic, guys. Okay? So, إِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ. Now, this is the second كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ. Remember? We're done with the first كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ. Now, Allah's talking about ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ. When they will enter the hellfire. إِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ كَانَتْ مِرْصَادًا. There's no doubt about it. إِنَّ means there's no doubt about it. جَهَنَّمَ كَانَتْ مِرْصَادًا. مِرْصَادًا comes from رَصِيد, which in English means receipt. Right? What is a receipt? You pay for something, you get a receipt. If I pay 10 dinars for something, what do I get in return? A receipt for 10 dinars, right? So, rasid actually means it's basically equal to what we have done in this life. And mirsad also means ambush. You know when an enemy is hiding to attack you? That's what Jahannam is doing. It's hiding, it's waiting to attack you. It's already there. لِلطَّاغِينَ مَآبًا. Allah's describing now these disbelievers that they are طَاغِين from طَغَى, which means to rebel. Okay? Allah is describing what's going on in the inside of the disbeliever. On the outside, yes, he's saying that this message is a lie, he's making jokes about the Day of Judgment. That's on the outside. But what is Allah doing internally? What are these disbelievers internally thinking? There is طُغْيَان in their hearts. There's rebellion. What does rebellion mean? When you know you need to do something, but you rebel against it. You let your shahawat, you let your desires take over. Okay, you rebel against the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah wants you to become a slave of Him. He's the master, you're the slave. But you rebel by doing what you like. Allah is saying, be my slave. Give up your free will. Give up your choices. The one who rebels, what does he do? He says, Ya Allah, I don't want your slavery. I want to enjoy life. I want to party. I want to chill. Yeah, I'll pray sometimes, but Ya Allah, I also, you know, every now and then I like to have fun. That's rebellion. Okay? You're not submissive. Ma'aba means it's a time where you will come whether you like it or not. You're going to come back to it. Ma'aba. لِلطَّاغِينَ مَآبَ. Allah is describing here a very, very, yani, it's a very scary description. The disbelievers, Allah is saying, they'll enter the hellfire and they'll want to escape from it, but they'll be sent back into it. They'll escape from it, they'll be sent back into it. لِلطَّاغِينَ مَآبًا. They're going to keep coming back to it. Okay? لَابِثِينَ فِيهَا أَحْقَابًا. They will stay in it for ages and ages and ages. لَابِثِينَ فِيهَا أَحْقَابًا. This is also psychological torture for the disbelievers. You know how like sometimes a prisoner is sent to jail, but he knows that he's going to come out after 5 years. Is that okay? It's not bad. I mean, he robbed a bank for $1 million. That's not bad. 5 years is not bad. But Allah's telling these criminals, you're going to stay in there forever and ever and ever. There's no hope left. Okay? Psychological torture. لَا يَذُوقُونَ فِيهَا بَرْدًا وَلَا شَرَابًا. They will not taste in it, in Jahannam. بَرْدًا وَلَا شَرَابًا. بَرْدًا refers to coldness. Sharaba, to drink. Now when you're in the hellfire, you're going to be extremely thirsty. And when you're thirsty, would you want a cold drink or a hot drink? Cold drink, right? Nice ice, Pepsi or something, or orange juice, right? Allah's saying they're going to get hamim. They're going to get boiling water for drink. So they won't taste bardan, coolness, nor sharaba, nor any sorts of drink. Is it going to be cold in hellfire? It's going to be very hot. And by the way, these are people of the desert. What are two luxuries of the desert? Air conditioning and juice. Orange juice, right? Or whatever juice. Cold water. Allah is saying on the day of judgment in the hellfire, they will not taste nor coolness. There's going to be immense heat, and they will not drink anything except what? إِلَّا حَمِيمًا وَغَسَّاقًا, except boiling water. And you know what their food is going to be? غَسَّاقًا, which is a bit disgusting. غَسَّاقًا basically means pus, infected blood. This is going to be their food. So boiling water for appetizer, and then the main course will be infected blood or pus. Okay, very graphic stuff. Now, the question would arise, how come Allah is doing this? Isn't that like cruel? Isn't that merciless, Ya Allah? I thought you were Rahman and Rahim. Allah answers right away. This is what the Quran does over and over again, subhanAllah. If you think about it deeply, questions will come to your mind, the next ayah will answer it. Allah says, جَزَاءً وِفَاقًا. This is a reward that they deserve. Don't question it. Don't think it's cruel. They deserve this. جَزَاءً وِفَاقًا. From muwafiq, something that is, you know, exact compensation. Exactly what they deserve, they will get. Nothing more, nothing less. جَزَاءً وِفَاقًا. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا لَا يَرْجُونَ حِسَابًا. Allah is explaining further why all this punishment. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا لَا يَرْجُونَ حِسَابًا. They had false hopes that they will get away with this punishment. They never had this hope that they will be held accountable. لَا يَرْجُونَ حِسَابًا. They never wanted accountability. They just wanted to enjoy life and party. Okay? What's the second reason? وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا كِذَّابًا. And they lied about our ayat. And كَذَّبُوا actually means not only that they lie about it, they actually called the Prophet ﷺ a liar. They called this book, you know, a lie. They called all these signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a lie. They denied them. Takdhib actually means denial. When you deny the favors of Allah on you. And I forgot to mention this yesterday in Fatiha, by the way. You know, Fatiha starts with Alhamdulillah, right? Alhamdulillah means praise and gratitude, right? Shukr. What's the opposite of shukr in the Arabic language? Kufr. So disbelievers, or, you know, kufr has two meanings. One, you disbelieve in Allah. You don't believe in Allah being your creator or whatever. But the second meaning of kafir is someone who is unthankful. So here Allah is adding to the fact that they denied my ayat. وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا كِذَّابًا. Huge lies. كِذَّابًا. وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَحْصَيْنَاهُ كِتَابًا. And Allah is explaining even further. By the way, if you doubt, if you think that my punishment is too severe for them, I can show you their book. وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَحْصَيْنَاهُ كِتَابًا. Everything we have calculated and preserved for them. أَحْصَيْنَاهُ Kitaba means we have preserved it, we've calculated. Ahsayna actually comes from hasa. So basically, you know, back in the days, you know, they didn't have calculators and, you know, Google or whatever. So how did they count things, complex things? They'd have like a jar or a bottle, and they would get stones. So they would count 1, 2, 3, 4. So it's preserved in the jar. If you want to do an audit of it, can you do easily an audit? Of course, because the stones are in the jar, right? Or in the bottle. And it's safe, right? Nowadays, what do tech people always worry about? Backing up data, right? Cloud backups. Allah is saying that everything is preserved. We have counted everything they've done, and it's in a kitab. It's in a book. You want to see it? I can show it to you. This is where he drank alcohol. This is where he did zina. This is where he dealt with riba. This is where he cheated. This is where he saw something bad on the internet. This is where he was doing, you know. He was cheating in his business. Everything is recorded. وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَحْصَيْنَاهُ كِتَابًا. And then Allah says, فَذُوقُوا. Now Allah's talking to them directly. Which is scary stuff. You know how like sometimes a teacher says in the class, guys, you know, the test was easy, but you guys messed up. You guys didn't study. I'm sure you didn't study. And all of a sudden he says, Qazi, you failed the exam big time. You had the lowest mark. How are you going to feel? I was talking about the class and you relaxed, right? But all of a sudden, if I come to you, Allah is doing exactly the same thing here. He was talking about the disbelievers, and then all of a sudden, He's addressing them directly. فَذُوقُوا. Taste the punishment. فَذُوقُوا. فَلَن نَزِيدَكُمْ إِلَّا عَذَابًا. The scholars of tafsir say that this ayah is the scariest ayah in the entire Quran for the disbelievers. Because Allah is saying, taste the punishment. We will not increase you nothing but punishment. فَلَن نَزِيدَكُمْ إِلَّا عَذَابًا. You know, like criminals who are in prison, with time, what happens to them? They get used to the dal and roti, right? they have like a thick skin and they start enjoying it and they have buddies. So as time goes by in a prison, you start adjusting, you start adapting to a prison. But the disbelievers of the hellfire, Allah is saying, every moment will be worse punishment for you. We will not increase you except in more and more punishment. The punishment is going to get more severe and more severe and more severe. Scary stuff. Okay? So Allah is showing His anger. But then all of a sudden Allah shifts to the believers now. Part number 5. Remember part 5? The believers of Jannah. Now it's time for us to relax. Allah is saying, إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ مَفَازًا. For those who protected themselves, there is mafaza, there is good news, there is success. Okay? Now why did Allah shift all of a sudden? What happened to all of us as we were hearing these ayat? Hopefully there was a sense of fear in us, right? Allah is saying, if you felt a little bit of fear in your heart, good news to you, you are muttaqi. You qualify to be among the muttaqeen who will have success on the Day of Judgment. And Allah also through this ayah is just talking to the disbelievers and telling them, listen, this is what is going to happen to you if you continue joking around about the Day of Judgment. And this is what I'm going to give my believers. You still have a chance. You want to be part of this group or that group? Okay? So Allah showing the disbelievers what, how He'll treat the believers. Maybe they'll decide to change. إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ مَفَازَاتٍ. What is taqwa? Taqwa is not just something in the heart. It's something that's in the heart that results in some sort of action. Some sort of, you know, precaution that you take to protect your iman. That's what taqwa is. Okay? So it demands some sort of action. And mafaza is barely passing. There's another word in the Quran for success, which is falah. That is getting an A. That is getting 90% plus in your exam. Mafaza is barely passing. Okay? So if you have a little bit of sense of fear of the ayat that just passed by, I have good news for you. You are from the people who won. حَدَائِقَ وَأَعْنَابَ. What will these believers get? They will get gardens and anaba. حَدَائِقَ, which means gardens with a high gate, okay? Private property. You know, always when you have a property, you want privacy, right? So you can enjoy your time with your wife and your kids. You don't want people enjoying or invading your privacy. So Allah is saying حَدَائِقَ. You'll have private access in your palace. Don't worry about it. You can swim with your wife. No problem. No one's going to take a peek in your pool. There will be highly raised gardens. And anaba also. And you'll have grapes, which is a means of food and drink. So imagine this. Allah's describing to us that there's going to be an amazing sight of your garden. Amazing smell, because gardens have nice smell. And amazing taste, because there's going to be grapes. Okay? 3 senses of smell there. And then what else are you going to get? Now you're in the garden. What's missing, guys? You need company, right? What kind of company? Your friends? No. What do you need? You need the wives with you, right? So Allah is saying, وَكَوَاعِبَ أَتْرَابَ. He knows exactly what you want. Okay? You have a nice place, nice house. What's missing? Your lady, right? Allah is saying, وَكَوَاعِبَ أَتْرَابَ. Now, I can't describe to you kawa'ib in detail. You can look it up yourself, because it's a bit like PG-13, okay? But ka'ab in the Arabic language means something that stands out. So Kaaba is something that's called Kaaba because it stands out in the desert, right? It's an object that stands out. And Kaab is your ankle. It stands out from your foot, right? So you guys get the hint. What stands out in females in terms of their body structure, okay? So Allah is describing that your wives will be kawa'ib. And this actually refers to, because there's no shame in tafsir, okay? So I researched this stuff up, and Allah is actually alluding to the age of the women that are going to be with you. Some scholars say they will be at just the peak of, you know, when a female is in her peak of her figure, basically. The best figure, you know, 16, 17, 18 years old. That's going to be the age of your wives. You're going to be 33, they're going to be 16, according to Imam Al-Alusi, okay, the Mufassir of Ruh Al-Ma'ani. There's other views that both of us will be 33, Allahu Alam. But the idea here is their bodies will be at its peak. It can't get better. Okay, kawa'iba atraba. What does atraba mean? It comes from turab, dust. They will be compatible with you. There will be no jagra between the husband and wife, you know? It's not like you're going to like chocolate, she's going to like ice cream. You know? You're both going to like the same stuff. It's going to be completely compatible. Because you can have a really beautiful wife, but you have nothing in common with her. She likes to read books. You like to, you know, go out in the park. So that could cause marriage problems, right? Allah is saying they will be really beautiful, at the same time, extremely compatible. So there's the sense of being also peace of mind, you know, not just beauty, but peace of mind. Because you spend 1 hour with her to enjoy the beauty, but 23 hours of the day to appreciate the character and the personality. And then Allah says, "Wa ka'san dihaqa." Now you have the nice place, you have the wife, now you're going to get the drinks. You're thirsty. Allah is saying, "Ka'san dihaqa." A glass that's never going to be empty. You know, sometimes, I mean, I don't know what kind of drinks you like, but for me, sometimes I really crave a nice Barbican. Okay, I like Barbican with ice, sometimes. Yeah. So imagine a full glass of Barbican. Now, when it's full, do you really enjoy it a lot? But as it decreases, what happens? Depression starts happening, right? Oh, it's finishing, man. And then you start taking less, small sips, just so it doesn't finish. Allah's saying, no, no, no. In Jannah, relax. Drink as much as you want. It's not going to finish. There's going to be, it's going to refill by itself. You're not going to have to call the waiter and say, "Hey, waiter, can you please refill?" You're going to drink some, it's going to refill again. You can drink some, it's going to refill. And there's no pet kharab, you know. If you drink a lot in dunya, you get upset stomach. In akhirah, drink as much as you want, you won't get filled. You won't have to go to the bathroom to relieve yourself. Then Allah says, and I love this ayah, لَا يَسْمَعُونَ فِيهَا لَغْوًا وَلَا كِذَّابًا. They will not hear in it any laghu. Laghu basically means bakwas, useless talk. You will not hear any useless talk, any ghiba, any namima. You will not hear people backbiting. You will not hear people, you know, making fun of each other. No useless talk. Only beautiful talk. Quality talk. لَغْوًا وَلَا كِذَّابًا. And no lies. There will be no lies in Jahannam. In Jannah. There will be no lies. You will not have to lie. In dunya, we lie to impress each other, right? In akhirah, you don't need to impress anybody. Khalas. You're in Jannah, everything is cool. And in dunya, we lie sometimes to show off, right? Okay, you know what? Yesterday, you know, I ate like 4 burgers or something. I don't know, something. You exaggerate a bit sometimes just to show off. In Jannah, everything is possible. So you don't need to lie. Just whatever you can imagine, you can actually do it instantly. You don't have to lie about it. And then Allah says, جَزَاءً مِنْ رَبِّكَ عَطَاءً حِسَابًا. A reward from your master. Remember, يَاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَيَاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. A reward from your master. And Allah, He didn't say wifaqa. For the disbelievers, remember, Allah said that the reward for them is wifaqa. It is compatible, exactly equal to what they deserve, right? Here Allah is saying, no, 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 no. The reward they will get is not what they deserve. It is ata'an, which means more than what they deserve. Ata'an means when you give something beyond what is deserving. And Allah is saying here, ata'an hisaba. He will actually calculate not what you deserve, but He's going to calculate what bonus gifts He's going to give you. Subhanallah. And then Allah says in the last part, the conclusion, رَبِّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا الرَّحْمَانِ. The master of the heavens and the earth, and everything that's in between them. And Allah then mentions Ar-Rahman, the merciful, the extremely merciful. Remember from yesterday, what does Rahman mean? Extremely merciful, merciful right now, and temporarily merciful. So why is this name used in this surah? Because primarily the audience is the disbelievers. And they're enjoying the mercy of Allah in dunya. Allah is telling them, don't take it for granted. I can take it away from you in akhirah. Okay? And then Allah says, لَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِنْهُ خِطَابًا. No one will be able to open their mouth on this day. No one will be able to come up with excuses on this day. No one will be able to have any shafa'ah, any wasta for him on this day. No one's going to be able to talk. Then Allah says at the concluding ayat, يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الرُّوحُ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ صَفًّا. On that day, which day? The day that they were questioning. Remember in the beginning? Allah is describing that day now. That day that you're questioning, on that day, the Ruh and the Malaika. Ruh basically refers to Jibreel and the Malaika. They will be standing saffan, in a straight, like an army, you know? A big row, saffan. لا يتكلمون. Even the angels, nobody there will be able to talk. لا يتكلمون إلا من أذن له الرحمن وقال صوابا. Except for the one who, the Rahman. Again, Rahman is repeated. Except for who Rahman will give permission to. and they will be able to speak, and whatever they speak will be sawaba, it will be accurate. There's not going to be any sort of, you know, wasta that will be taken with lies, you know. Everything is going to be straightforward talk, and there's not going to be any sort of like faltu talk going on, you know. And then Allah says, ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ الْحَقِّ. That is the day of the truth. That is the day that's going to happen. The day that you are questioning, عَمَّا يَتَسَأَلُونَ. The day that you are making fun of, that is the day of the truth. How can you deny that? فَمَنْ شَاءَ اتَّخَذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ مَآبًا. Whoever wants. Now here is the invitation to the disbelievers. Here's the invitation and hope of Ar-Rahman. He's telling them, فَمَنْ شَاءَ, whoever wants, whoever wills, اتَّخَذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ مَآبًا. You can come back to your master. What is Allah referring to here? It's really beautiful. It's a beautiful conclusion. Allah is saying, you are going to come back to me whether you like it or not on the Day of Judgment. But how about you come back to me in dunya? So, اتَّخَذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ مَآبًا means you will come back to your master. So all of us, we will go back to our master. Now the question is, do the disbelievers want to go back to him on the Day of Judgment when it's too late? Or do they want to go back to him now in dunya when there's still a second chance to make tawbah? So it's an open invitation to the disbelievers and anyone who's denying Allah's signs that come back now, because eventually you're going to have to come back. So make the smart choice. إِنَّا أَنذَرْنَاكُمْ عَذَابًا قَرِيبًا. Most definitely, there's no doubt about, we have warned you of a very near punishment, عذاباً قريباً. What's going to happen on that day? يَوْمَ يَنْظُرُ الْمَرْءُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهُ. On that day, المرء, every single one of us, المرء, Allah calls it المرء, معرفة, which means by name. How many people are going to be standing in front of Allah on the Day of Judgment? We don't even know, like billions, hundreds of billions, trillions, Allahu A'lam, right? Allah is saying, every single one of them, I will know them by name. يَوْمَ يَنْظُرُ الْمَرْءُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهُ. You, every single one of us, will see his deeds. We'll see what his hands sent forward. مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهُ. And this refers to good deeds and bad deeds. Every single charity you've given, you will see it on the Day of Judgment. Every single good word you gave to someone, you will see it on the Day of Judgment. Every ghibah you did, you will see it on the Day of Judgment. Every lie you made, you will see it on the Day of Judgment. Every time you hurt someone with your words, you will see it on the Day of Judgment. So Allah is saying, on that day, you will see what your hand sent forward. Just like an email that's sent. Can you recall it? When an email is sent, I think Microsoft allows you to do that, right? But technically speaking, I think Gmail doesn't. Unless it's like 5 seconds, right? So once the email is sent, it's gone, khalas. It's saved in your records. مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهُ. What your deeds, what was sent forward. What is the kafir going to say on that day? What was he saying in the beginning of the surah? He was questioning the Day of Judgment, right? He was cracking jokes about the Day of Judgment. In akhira, he's going to say, وَيَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا. I wish I was only dust. Why is he going to say I was only dust? Because if he was dust, he would not be held accountable, right? The other meaning here, يَا لَيْتِنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا. I wish I was dead. I wish I was dead and I didn't have to be resurrected again. For me, death was enough. I wish I could go back in time. So this is the regret that this disbeliever is going to have on this day. In the beginning, we see that, you know, the disbelievers, they had this regret, or they had this mockery, right? They had this attitude of mocking. They had this attitude of making jokes about the Day of Judgment. In Akhirah, what's happening? They won't be able to speak. All these jokes, they'll be shut up basically, right? لَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِنْهُ خِطَابًا. They won't be able to speak. And at the end, they will realize the reality of the matter. They realize that the conclusion is that يَا لَيْتِنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا. I wish I was only dust. And dust, by the way, has also to deal with humility, right? Dust has to deal with humility. So they will be humiliated on that day. And so for us, what is the message here, brothers and sisters who are watching this? You know, we all have to think about our deeds. What are the deeds that we're sending forward as this surah concludes? Are we sending good deeds forward that we will see? Or are we sending bad deeds that we will see? If we were sending bad deeds, it's time to make tawbah. And we need to also think about things that we will be regretful for on the Day of Judgment. It's not too late to fix up your act. Right? It's not too late. If you think you have regrets, khalas, make it up now in this dunya. So with that, inshallah, we conclude this beautiful, beautiful surah, Surah An-Naba, the news, the big news. It's an amazing introduction to the rest of Juz Amma. Look forward tomorrow to, inshallah, continuing with Surah An-Nazi'at, inshallah, the next surah in this juz'. Jazakum Allah khair for coming. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.